Hi, Emmaus. Welcome back to the Proclaim and Display Podcast, episode 52, where we help you show and tell the gospel to your neighbors and the nations. Back in the studio today with Jaron, Jeff, and Kennedy. What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hello.
Hey,
see you guys. Man, this is great. Okay, so we are calling this our casserole episode for April. So we have several things to discuss. We're just going to dump them all in one pan, one episode. You guys like casserole?
100%.
Huge casserole fan.
I'm a pro casserole person.
Oh, wow. We're getting casserole buy-in. Jaron?
I've never made a casserole.
We're not asking you about making it. Like, do you like casserole? Like, is that... Do you like to eat them? Are you
maybe like the breakfast concoctions? But I mean, I
don't, you're really
give me some casseroles. Like I can't even like a lasagna. Do you call that a casserole?
Oh, we might be getting into definition work here. Like this could get dangerous.
Like potato casserole, green bean casserole,
chicken and rice, cream of mushroom casserole. That's a good one.
Wow, there's hesitancy here from Jaron. We may be finding he's like anti.
You put a bunch of delicious things in one pan and eat it. Like, what is the problem?
Carol Noble's got this like tater tot casserole.
Yep.
That
yeah.
I
really yep.
Like.
Okay, yeah, so you get the idea.
Yeah. Casserole, yep.
I think shepherd's pie kind of lives in that casserole world.
Shepherd's pie.
No, you don't? Okay.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh. Well, you said no to something you don't know what it is.
Is it like pot pie or something like that?
It's potatoes, beef,
no.
Peas.
He also doesn't like Thanksgiving food, though.
This is true. We're finding this.
Tread lightly.
That's true.
Okay, so Emmaus is saying a prayer for Jaron right now as we talk about this. But all right, so I am pumped about what's coming up with our church family. It's also spring weather season. It's Masters golf time. Oh, yeah. Baseball season's underway. Mm-hmm. New sermon series. What? Come on,
Jaron's not an American.
So, unbelievable. So, favorite part of spring? Does spring like rank up there pretty high on seasons for you guys? What do you think?
No, it's the worst.
It is the worst.
It's the lowest.
It's the lowest of the four
because it's when the hot weather comes.
No,
they take away my cold weather, and it begins.
It's the transition time.
It's the transition. The emotional toll of knowing hot weather is coming makes spring worse than even summer.
Okay,
what?
So you'd rather? I am really confused.
You'd rather not.
He's blaming spring for being the gateway. If it wasn't for spring, we wouldn't have to worry about summer.
So you'd rather be in 100-degree weather than to like demise the coming of.
Now, Jaron, you're a fall guy though, right? Like you're like fall is at
fall
the top,
and then spring right.
It's second, yeah. Yeah, what do you say? What
transition
say you, Kennedy?
Seasons.
I like whatever season's coming up next. I just like the anticipation of, like,
change.
Summer's coming. And then in summer, I'm like, I can't wait for fall.
Yeah. There's always something new coming. So spring is a pretty good one. I mean, obviously severe weather's bad because it causes, you know, in our area of the world, a lot of destruction. But Jaron and I, and Jeff, we're all just fascinated by it.
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm all about that. Love baseball. Love golf. This is just a great time.
It's a happy time, I feel like, you know?
Yeah.
You're coming out of the cold and being inside
all day.
Unless
you're Jeff.
And,
in the air.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Such a happy time.
Yeah. So the allergies, not fun. I've really struggled this spring. I feel like the last few springs I've done pretty well. Man, this spring I have got my tail kicked by the allergies. Yeah, been not fun. All right, we're thinking about Jeff coming out of winter into spring. Let's jump the agenda here for a second. Jeff, you've been actually out for a few weeks on your sabbatical, 10 years of ministry service at Emmaus, and able to take a little bit of time away. Fill in the church family on sabbatical. I mean, we made you take it during March. It's kind of like the end of winter, early spring.
Yeah,
sorry about that.
But we had decent cold weather.
It was okay for you. Okay, so tell us about sabbatical.
Yeah, it was good. It was a breath of fresh air just to kind of focus on those things that we're too busy to focus on. So spending more time in the Word and in prayer. And I'm not being overly spiritual. I went to the gun range a lot.
Like, you know, that's all right.
Had a chance to do some fun things. But
so in the Word, any particular area? Or we're trying to be serious over here, Jaron. I'm trying to ask him about his time in the Word, and you're like making gun noises,
it's,
man.
It's
so.
A very spiritual moment
yes.
when you're blasting some paper targets away.
Yeah.
What did you ask me?
I asked you about what you were studying the Bible, and then Jaron is shooting a gun over here across the table.
No, I got a chance to. So I did a lot of audio Bible and started with a chronological study, and so started in Genesis. And
nice.
And I mentioned this in staff meeting yesterday. I felt very much like an old man, but I began to take drives.
I'm so proud of you about this. This is really, I'm kind of jealous too. I'm not going to lie.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, I mean, just driving. Like, yeah. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't have a plan. I'm going to drive, turn. Yeah. Sometimes I had the Bible app running, and sometimes I had nothing.
Yeah.
And just the amount of things that can kind of come to your mind and the Lord can bring to your heart and your mind when you don't have a distraction, you don't have anything going.
Man, in all seriousness, that is just really just a healthy thing to be able to do. Like, yeah. I love that.
Did you log your trips? Like, what was the longest? I don't know. Is unfamiliar.
Yeah,
to me.
No, I did not.
Did you end up out of state, or like you stay in the area?
No, I stayed in the area. Yeah. Like I spent a couple of days in Sulphur, and so I just drove through the park for an hour, maybe.
Okay,
I don't know, something like that.
All right,
I love that.
So that was good, and got to spend time with family, which was a lot of fun. It's I think a lesson learned is just taking time to spend with family. Just to spend with family.
Right.
I'm a schedule person. Like, sure. We got 30 minutes, and then we got to be here and here and here. And so it was really nice. I didn't have to look at the clock. I spent some days where I just took my watch off, which is, if you don't know me, that's a crazy thing.
No, that's good.
And I did not know what time it was. And I was able to kind of key in on the kids and interact with them in a different way and with Jenny Ann. And so
that's
really cool. The church is really, really gracious for allowing that to happen. I know that's not an opportunity that everybody gets, and I really appreciate their willingness to invest in that way.
Well, you invest in people's lives because of your pastoral role, and I think this is just a great way, and what you learn coming out of a time like this. And we were hoping this podcast episode could be sponsored by Great Wolf Lodge, but we didn't get that to happen.
I forgot to drop that.
Yeah, get the kids there. So I think they would be a great sponsor for the Amaze podcast.
Yep.
So.
I don't want their benefits.
you don't want any more pressure to go there. So I think we could film like a commercial for them. You know, Great Wolf Lodge, like us just showing up there. Oh man, that's good. We better get off that train. So thanks Jeff for sharing about that. It really is a great investment, and this idea of just longevity in ministry, health in ministry, in order that we can serve the church and advance the gospel. So I love that. Circling back around on our agenda, throwing stuff in the casserole dish here, new sermon series. It may already be started by the time this podcast releases, or it'll be right at the time this podcast releases. We're starting a new sermon series through the Minor Prophets. So we're going to play off the Minor Prophets idea and tie that into minor leagues, minor league baseball, springtime. A couple of fun things. Each prophet that we study through, there's going to be a baseball card for that prophet. So you can pick up add this to your baseball card collection. So hopefully that'll be fun for the kids. April 21st is Wear Your Jersey to Church Day, which I'm pretty excited
about. What's the
date? So pumped.
April 21st is Wear Your Jersey to Church Day. So
this
can be
this
can be like, you know, any sports related jersey or whatever you want to do. Just make it fun. If you can find the old high school jersey, break that out. If you want to wear your Boston Red Sox jersey.
Just don't wear Yankees, and just everything will be good.
See, there it is. There it is. Somebody's
going to wear
fights in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Maybe to help some of us who don't have a jersey, like affiliated clothing.
Sure. Your favorite, you know, college team, professional team. Just this idea of playing on the. Oh no! You're gonna wear on stage. You're gonna have this could get out of hand potentially, but I think we'll be okay. So
sorry, I opened a can.
The whole idea of playing in this minor league sports, but the minor prophets are obviously not minor because of importance. They're just called minor prophets because they're shorter, but they powerful lessons about God's character, what it means to be His people. So we start out with Hosea, and we're just gonna roll through. I mean, obviously, we're gonna cover all 12. Of the minor prophets. Some of them will get 1 week, you know, some will be multiple. And we're just going to open our hearts to God's character, God's relationship with His people. What does it look like when His people turn against Him? The judgment that comes, God's holiness shown in that time. But the prophets are incredible because you'll see this rebellion, you'll see the consequences for sin, you'll see God's holiness. And then when it looks like all hope is lost, there's salvation, and there's victory, and there's hope. And it's a beautiful picture of the gospel over and over and over again, the prophets. So
I'm excited you're doing this, because I think for a lot of us, and even including myself years ago when I was unfamiliar with them. Like, yeah, I'll hang out in the Gospels. I'll get me some New Testament mm-hmm. letters, but like to see how much connection there is to our real life through these lessons we'll learn, I think will be really important for our church.
Yeah, they get buried there at the end of the Old Testament. They're some of the hardest books just to memorize in terms of, you know, which book goes next. And so I'm going to work with our kids. If they memorize the 12 books, just knowing the names in order, they'll get a little fun, cool. Fun gift. And so, you know, we could probably part with a couple of gifts for adults as well if they wanted to memorize the verse and just learning our Bible, which is a great segue, not on purpose, but a really fun segue to the next thing we're going to throw in the casserole dish. Thinking about knowing our Bible. So you've got 66 books in the Bible. You've got these little minor prophets that are buried at the end of the Old Testament. One thing we get asked about a lot is, where do I go when I first become a Christian? Or where do I go if I just have really basic questions about the Christian faith or about the Bible? Like, I feel really unfamiliar with my Bible. I don't really know a lot of what we believe. I just know I love Jesus and he died for me and I believe in that. Like, where do I go next? Where are the basics? And we've kind of have had a built-in answer for that. You gather with the church family on Sunday morning to know the gospel. You gather with a Sunday school class or Bible study, and all of those remain our answers, you know, for those things. But we wanted to be a little more intentional about that answer. So here's the plan, Emmaus. The third Sunday of every month, we're going to offer what's called Basics of the Faith. 9:15, we're going to try for the lobby. If a few more people show up than expected, we'll move into like front rows of the worship center. But let's meet in the lobby, 9:15. Third Sunday of the month for Basics of the Faith. So first Sunday of the month is Discover Emmaus. If you know somebody who wants to get connected to church, send them our way. Second Sunday of the month at 9:15 in the lobby is new member class. Somebody wants to join, that's their time. Third Sunday of the month is Basics of the Faith. You might ask, who's this open to? Like, who can come? Literally anybody. The person's not a Christian, have them come. This is a great place to start. If you've been around church for a really long time, and you just feel unfamiliar with your Bible, come and join us. If you are brand new to being a Christian, brand new to faith, and you need a place just to ask questions, this is the place to start. So, Jeff, I think you said something, I think it was you, said something in a staff meeting yesterday, and I'm going to mess it up, so jump in and rescue me here, but it was the idea, something to do with...
I think a lot of times when people come to Sunday school classes, there are a lot of assumptions made.
Oh, there's the word. Okay.
You know, what you already know. And so you might be sitting there and all of a sudden they're just using words or, you know, you mentioned 66 books of the Bible. You know, that's an assumption that people know that or know kind of what is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so we're hoping that this can kind of be a place where we're not making those assumptions, that some of the very most basic things, you can come and learn those. You can ask questions. There's no shame in not knowing those. That this is a place where hopefully you're not going to be overwhelmed with people making those assumptions.
Yeah. No, that's helpful. And in our best moments, we would hope that that's true across the board at Emmaus. That's true when somebody shows up at 10:45 on Sunday morning. It's true when they show up at Sunday school. But the reality of it is, you know, when you've been around for a while, there are these assumptions you make, or you can't go back on every single point and trace the background of it or history. We never make any progress that way. And so we do need these times. So I appreciate what you said about that. Just, you know, taking away those assumptions. I'd be curious around the table here. You guys look back to early in your walk with Jesus, your spiritual growth. What made the difference for you? Like, how did you learn the basics of the faith? What did that look like for you guys? No matter who jumps in.
You got to give credit to the felt board stories.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
I still picture Bible stories in those.
Kids Sunday school class. Yeah, you put the little characters up there on the felt board, man. Yeah. Absolutely. So, but I guess playing into that would be the idea that you were consistently, as a kid, showing up to Sunday school, learning these Bible stories. So,
I think there's a lot of times we like to point to one thing or a particular thing that just made all the difference. And obviously there are some cases for that, but I think it's just, I don't think we completely can comprehend how much just showing up and being around God's people. I mean, I'm not trying to be too vague in general, but I mean, you compound 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years of just being with God's people, having the word preached to you, being in small group, all those things, like, that adds up over time. And having the patience enough to endure that and stick through it over time is an important thing. So that eagerness to learn and grow needs to be partnered with a patience and an endurance.
Mm. No, I like that. Yeah. Mm. What do you think, Kennedy? Anything in particular? Yeah.
I think of specifically like those that have taught me how to be in the Word, like by myself, how to study. And I think of, you know, like Becky Husted, who was children's director here, like gave us resources as like 8-year-olds. And I like remember those things. I remember acronyms that like Jaron would give us that I still like, even though I don't write out the acronym at the basis of it, like I'm using that acronym every day. And or thinking of like in college, really understanding the storyline of Scripture and how that plays into everything. So I think that that just shows like, you know, it is a gradual process. You don't know things automatically, and the Lord reveals things to you, you know, as you grow in Him and in just in that process of sanctification. And so it's a slow process, but the Lord just continues to be faithful through it.
Well, and social media has kind of trained us to compare our situation to everybody else's. Mm-hmm. And so I think it would be kind of challenging for a particular person if they feel like they don't know a whole lot compared to everyone around them, for them to be discouraged and, you know, beat down in some regards with that. But just start where you are. And even if it's as simple as, what is Tara Lee Cobble does her...
the Bible recap?
Yeah, she has this phrase, a God shot. Mm-hmm. Like, God even shot, if it's as simple as, I'm going to read the Word of God today, and I'm going to try to find at least one thing that tells me about the character of God and how that can impact my life. Like, that's, I mean, that's a great place to start.
When we, a couple of weeks ago, middle of March, we had a Sunday morning. We were supposed to do a combined Sunday school, and it didn't work out because of the guest speaker not being available. And so we tried to change at the last minute. What happened was people filled out a little piece of paper saying, this is what helped me when I was new in faith. And it was interesting reading through those just to see how often it was a person in their life or a group of people, somebody who walked with them. They were available to answer questions. They, you know, in the wider world, we probably call it mentoring. And that's not a bad word at all. I think mentoring is a great word. But, you know, in kind of Bible language, we call it disciple making, or someone just who's there to tell you about the things. And so I think having people around you, probably more than one, but sometimes you've just got one key person you can go and ask questions to, makes a big difference.
And I think it's fun to be that person that can encourage someone, and you don't have to, you know, be Owen to be able to be that person. Like, you know, wherever you're at, you can share what you know. And the joy of, like, encouraging someone and across a table seeing them get something and their face light up, like, is a really fun, enjoyable opportunity to see someone kind of take a step of faith or of growth and understanding something about God's Word is a really fun opportunity.
And I completely get what you're saying there. It doesn't have to be Owen to do that. And that's right. I mean, I'm very limited on who I can do that for. The other part of that, though, is sometimes people who are new to faith or just unfamiliar with their Bible have this idea that everybody else has it figured out and has all the answers. And, like, you know, if I was that person for someone, what they would find out quickly is how many questions I have, you know, and, like, you just, there's this humility and this desire to learn and the recognition. Sometimes the more you learn about something, the more you realize how little you know about that thing. There's the joke in higher ed that you get an undergrad degree to prove you know everything. You get a master's degree to prove you know something, and you get a doctoral degree to prove you know nothing. And so, like, it does go that way. You know, sometimes the scariest person when it comes to faith and the Bible is the person who thinks they know everything, you know, because you can get, and Paul has a lot to say about what intellectual knowledge can do and, you know, causing us to boast in ourselves. And so I don't want somebody to get the idea of this basics of the faith is I'm going to have answers to all my questions. My hope is that the person would love the Lord more than ever before and love being a part of the church and love seeing Jesus work in their life. And so that's what we're going to go. So if anybody asks you, what are we doing in this? Well, number one, this is an experiment. So we are We are throwing Jell-O against the wall on this basics of the faith class. But the idea would be, it would be a time where you would come and be able to ask basic questions, just ideas, questions you've had about the Bible or about faith. And so we're going to receive those questions. And over time, we'll start to see consistency among those questions. And we'll do our best to answer them as we can. So you can ask questions. Also, where we can just every month teach a basic Bible skill, or sometimes they're called spiritual disciplines, which again is a super churchy phrase, but just these things that are part that we do, and in doing them, we see God work in our life. So prayer, Bible reading, giving of what God's given us, being able to gather with the church for worship, serving other people, all these things that we do, not to earn God's love, but because in doing them, God uses those things to transform our life. So you'd learn those things as you go along.
So it's going to be a different thing that's going to be discussed each time.
That's a very good point. Yes, thank you for clarifying. This is the Jell-O on the wall thing. Yes, someone could come third Sunday of every month, and theoretically, it's going to be different every month. New questions, new spiritual disciplines, new teachings, things like that. And so if it works out for you to come. If it doesn't work out, then catch us next month.
What about someone who wants to come but can't, or wants to stay in Sunday school that day? Can they get access to?
You know, we'd be making up the answer on the spot right now on the podcast. So it's a great it's a good point. You know, probably what we need to do, truly developing this class on the podcast.
The Jell-O is on the wall, right?
Yeah,
now.
The Jell-O is dripping down the wall. Will it stick? I don't know. I would say it would be good in those classes probably to anonymously, you know, as these questions are asked, not tying them to a person, but we'll collect these questions that are asked because good chance somebody else is asking the same questions. So let's collect those questions, and then whatever discipline we talk about or teaching we do from the Bible, we need to encapsulate that every time and find a way either through my emails or through podcasts to get that out, because there'll be a lot of people who either it's just not going to fit in their schedule, or they want to be in their Sunday school class, which we would say that's great. Like, you know, be there. But yeah, let's think about that. Let's gather these questions, resources, put this together. We don't want to recreate the wheel, but there's already some good stuff out there. We just want to do. Here's the word I'm going for. This needs to be helpful. Like at the end of the day, we want to do what is most helpful for people who are new to the faith, and how can we help them? How can we help them grow? So, on the next podcast, we'll process more about the basics of the faith class. So we'll be on the other side of the first one. We'll figure out what the Jell-O did on the wall. And it would not be the first idea we tried and then scrapped. But I would much rather try things and fail in trying them than just not try anything. Yeah. And it's just fun to see how God works. We're already behind the scenes talking about the next step after this basics of the faith class. Like, okay, somebody's like, well, sarcastically, what are you going to do on the fourth Sunday of the month? Well, we have a plan for that. We just can't tell you. It is so much fun to be thinking and working and praying about how God's at work in our church family. And that's what we want to do. So, Emmaus, if you have questions, if you have ideas, shoot them our way. We love you guys. Last thing we want to wrap up with, last piece to throw in this would be like the whatever you throw on top of the casserole dish that you kind of, you know, throw it cheese. In the, under the broiler, the cheese is what
is it
I was
ever
coming.
Anything but cheese?
Breadcrumbs and cheese were coming to my mind at the time. So
fried onions, yeah. On the green bean casserole.
Turn the broiler on for a minute, let it crisp up just a little bit on the top. It's gonna be good. So we do want to pray for Kennedy and a group of people from Emmaus. And we don't say this lightly, but are literally going to an undisclosed location where we can't talk about it publicly at all. So they're going to be traveling there for the hopes of making some connections that will result in long-term opportunities. I'm not sure, Kennedy, we can say anything beyond that, but anything in particular that people could, you know, be praying for you guys about?
This is all new for us as Emmaus, and so the goal is that we go and just go with open hands, just seeking, okay, God, is this where you have us participate in your work as a church body? And so just pray that we're in tune with the Lord and his spirit, and that, you know, good conversations come, but also that fruitful ground is laid, and that we, you know, can clearly see whether God is calling us there or he's calling us somewhere else. So
no, that's fantastic. We're excited about that. So, Jeff, would you pray for Kennedy and her team and for our church family, and then we'll wrap up.
Sure. So.
Father, we thank you so much for the grace that you show us in giving us opportunities to be a part of your work and to be a part of spreading your word and the good news of your gospel around the world, even and specifically to places that is not easily accessible. And so, God, I pray that you would be with Kennedy and this team, that their hearts would be inclined towards you, that they would be encouraged by what they find on this trip, that they see a field that is ripe for the harvest. And so, God, I pray that you would help their connections as they meet with people and talk with people over there, that the way forward would be clear to them, give them discernment in that. Of course, keep them safe, let their travel goes well, and that the details and the things that can kind of get in the way and get stressful would be pushed to the side, that they could focus completely on what you're doing in them and for the future of our partnership with this area. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We love you, Emmaus. We'll see you soon.